News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got to June 19th. We're talking about the Mexican Revolution and some things you never heard about the German influence. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning, everyone.
Are you here?
I'm here, and it's hot.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's not too hot in here. I'll take that.
Give it a little while, and it's going to get toasty. Anyway, live on KTSM, AM 690 as always, and TV streaming now, live on Facebook at the El Paso History Radio Show page, and on the Facebook group, I guess it would call it, Remember in El Paso When, and this is where we say... Texas history begins in El Paso, and we know why. Go ahead.
I know, but we're smart about that. And people can find us, you know, anywhere that they can stream audio live on the internet via ktsmradio.com, where you can click on the iHeartRadio link and take us anywhere you go.
You did a history. Wherever. You did a history moment. I know you did.
Yes, this one's a different one. It's Pancho Villa's teenage chauffeur.
Oh.
This one, thank you, Bernie. He's the one that my husband Bernie came up with this one. He stumbled into it. He's doing some research.
This is not the guy that got killed in a car with him.
No.
Oh, okay. This is another guy.
Could have, but no.
We'll talk about that next hour, first up. And also, we got to talk about the history now on June 19th. Congratulations on making it to June 19th. We all did. But the independent scholar and author named Harry Herbert von Felitz is here. Yay. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're good. Welcome here.
Glad to be back.
You sat in that chair before.
I have.
And you found out a few new things since then.
Well, I did.
Okay, we're going to hear about that.
And his lovely wife, Berkeley, is
well,
here.
But she's not on camera. She's not on microphone.
She was on
so
camera. Well,
she's just window dressing.
You hear the nodding.
Yeah, whatever. But the thing is, we've got this is going to happen today. He's going to connect spy stories from the Mexican Revolution. And he found National Archive documents showing the money trail from Germany to Pancho Villa and other Mexican revolutionary figures. Second hour, we're going to add another guy here. Another German military historian, Florian Vattel, and he's also a New Mexico historian. We'll catch up with him in the second hour. But, Harry, the thing's going on here. Things change when you find more documents, and you're one of the guys that goes around finding.
I mean, that's actually the greatest thing about history, isn't it? That it never sets.
Well,
history changes. You know, you do research, you find something new, and then... history changes, and we have to change our mind, you know? Things have to fit.
Well, you hope you find the next shoebox full of stuff out of the guy's closet, like I was telling you about this engineer from the International Boundary Water Commission. That stuff was his stuff in his house, and somebody didn't throw it away, the next group didn't throw it away, and finally somebody sent it to the International Boundary Water Commission, and they got a whole trove of stuff that filled in blanks for them on their history. So that's kind of what we're looking for. You got a box of stuff in your house?
No. But I was going to say, I know Harry has gone through and literally dug through the archives, the National Archives in Germany, and found stuff. I mean, again,
I went through all kinds of National Archives and...
there you go.
Yeah, okay. So the National Archives here in the U.S., which is great. In Germany, we have a bunch of archives. But, you know, what you're talking about, Jackson, one of the cool stories is one day on... YouTube. One day on YouTube, I found the a picture of one of the spies, and it was like a thumb thing, you know. So you just flip through it, a flip book, I guess. And I found out who posted it, and I contacted the person.
Oh.
And I said, "Wait a minute, I know who this is." And she goes, "Like, it's my grandfather."
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know. And then it didn't take long. I found out where she lived. She invited me to her house. The whole attic full of the papers of this German spy. No historian had ever laid eyes on it.
And that spy's name was
Federico Stallforth.
So now you got another whole. I hadn't heard about this guy before.
Oh, he's amazing.
Here's another book coming, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And a film. Yeah.
Well, Harry.
And a film.
And a film.
Cool. Harry writes books. What are your books? Tell us what you've done.
Well, so I wrote, the first book I wrote was about this German spy, Felix Sommerfeld, who was a naval intelligence agent here in the United States and in Mexico, became the chief arms procurement guy for Pancho Villa, his de facto ambassador in the United States. And nobody really knew that he was a German spy. For 100 years, I dug him up. And his name was mentioned all over the place, but nobody knew that he was a spy. And so anyway, so I wrote the first book about Sommerfeld before World War I, really concentrating on the Mexican Revolution, and then about the German Secret Service in the United States during World War I. And so Stahlfors is in there, Sommerfeld's in there, a bunch of other agents that blew up factories, sank ships, and created a war between Mexico and the United States. That was one of the missions.
Well, if you could, would you have been here at the time?
It would have been interesting, but, I'm not so sure about hygiene.
Oh, well, that's a different subject. But would you have been one of the guys up on top of the hotel watching the battles?
Oh, yeah, of course. And on top of the railroad wagons, right?
Right.
They pulled them up.
Even closer.
A bunch of Americans got shot off the...
Well, they were shooting 50 caliber cannons known as rifles over there. You get hit. If that hits you anywhere, you're gone.
Well, and they were picnicking on the side of the river, on the El Paso side of the river. And, they were shooting across the way, and people, as I said, were getting shot at or shot. And it's like,
there was also some looting, Melissa, after the battle, right? Well, people took some memos from the dead bodies over
there. Well, the thing is that people thought the border was like, nothing's going to hurt me. I'm on this side. Well, really? Yeah. They got shot in San Jacinto Plaza.
Oh, yeah.
Bullets hit them in there. All right, to the point of what you've got here, you've got all kinds of interesting things, but the United States was instrumental in a lot of stuff. Tell me about you. You've got a whole rundown of things going on here. Germany was calculating what it did in Mexico based upon what it wanted to do in World War I, right?
Right. So,
explain the history and the chronology of that whole thing.
Okay. Well, the important thing that I discovered was, there's tons of books about the Mexican Revolution, there's tons of books about World War I, but, linking that together, we were actually, El Paso and Columbus were at the center of world politics in the 19-teens. And so to link the Mexican Revolution and how Mexico actually became a part of strategy is a fascinating topic, trying to fit this all in. So, when just real brief, when World War I broke out in 1914, the idea was, it's going to be a cakewalk. The Schlieffen Plan meant the Germans attack France real quick, get rid of them, and then march to Russia and take care of that. And the basis of that was that the Russians would take 3 months to even mobilize their armies. Well, that didn't happen that way. So instead of a 3 months war, we all know it was a 4 years war with, millions of dead. And at the beginning, the Germans were wholly unprepared to do anything here in the United States. But when they realized they're losing battle after battle, and the United States is making arms and munitions that go to the Allies, then they decided to do something here. And so they brought over a bunch of agents. I call them the Secret War Council. You have some pictures, I think, we can show later on.
We do have pictures, don't we? Yeah. Put up the first couple of pictures, Andrew, if you would, the OA and OB. And you can see them up there. We've got them up there on the screen.
Yeah.
And
so
who is that guy?
This guy is Carl Boyette. So Carl Boyette was the head of naval intelligence. His official title was Marine or Navy Attaché in Washington, D.C., but he actually was in charge of the entire spy network. Traditionally, naval intelligence outside of Germany was in charge of all agent.
And you're telling me the United States and Mexico, neither one understood these were German spies?
Well, yeah.
You think
they kind of knew, we know that German embassies in the world had spies attached to them.
That's generally what embassies do.
Exactly.
And in El Paso, the concentration was a little higher of German people, right?
Oh, my God, yeah. Texas in general. There's a funny story. The FBI sent out agents to find German spies in like 1915 or whatever. And the reports came back. They were like, they're everywhere. They're whole towns in Texas where they don't speak English.
Yeah, yeah.
And you want to bust the whole town? Go for it.
Yeah.
Just put a wall around it, call it a jail. Well, no, the thing about El Paso, Andrew, you got next picture would be, who is this guy here? You got two more guys here next, Andrew.
Yeah, Franz von Papen, I think.
Blanket and Mondragon. Or is next on
no,
my
that's in the that's in the next hour. So I think we have.
Oh, there
we
go. Get, wrong
is,
hour.
This is a guy.
There he is.
Yeah. So this name is Franz von Papen, and most people don't know at all that he was in the United States. He was the military attaché, and he was also based in New York. And he was in the end. So by 1916, he was in charge of all the sabotage activities here. So he
for the whole
paid
U.S.
the bombers
that, was going
that
on.
Blew up factories and stuff like that. But hey, there's something else about Papen. He became Chancellor of Germany. And he's that hapless guy that basically convinced the German President Hindenburg that, hey, I can handle Hitler. Don't worry about it.
Oh.
So that's, wait,
how'd that work out?
How'd that turn out? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then move on down to number three, Albert and Dernburg.
Dernburg, yeah. So Heinrich Albert, now this is a very interesting guy because he was basically just an administrator, a commercial agent. So he was buying stuff for the German government here in the United States. But he was actually the spy master. He was the guy that had all the money under him, and he's the one that actually paid all these spies. And interestingly, nobody had any idea until summer of 1915 when this poor fellow fell asleep on the elevated train in New York City. And the American Secret Service agent Frank Burke snatched his briefcase.
While he was asleep on the subway.
Yeah, so he was asleep, and then the subway stops, or the elevated train. At that time, there was no subway.
Yeah. All right.
And he runs out, forgets his briefcase, and Burke snatched it and ran off with it and got on a streetcar down below. And, of course, Albert running after him, screaming, you know, that somebody stole his briefcase. And supposedly Burke told the conductor, close the doors, there's a crazy man trying to kill me.
He's trying to get my briefcase. Oh, my God. Well, but the point was, what was in there was incredible stuff.
Incredible stuff.
Summarize the big headlines.
Okay, so basically, the Wilson administration decided to take these papers that were in the briefcase and just give them to the New York World. So in the summer of 1915, you had this incredible scandal. There were canceled checks, payments to spies.
They gave them to the news people?
They gave it to the news people.
That is amazing.
It was a huge deal.
When you think about how they redact everything today.
Right.
You know, it's like,
and so this is talking again about finding sources, Jackson. You know, when I researched this, I'm thinking to myself, well, did they publish everything that was in the briefcase? You know, so I went to the National Archives and said, do you have the contents of that briefcase? And we looked and we looked. It took 3 months with archivists. And finally they said, okay, we found it. And they took me in the
old... It was hiding in the archive somewhere.
Somewhere, misfiled. And they took me to this old vault. And you know what? There were 63 boxes of papers. And I look at them and I go, that couldn't possibly be the briefcase. And what it was the actual files of the German embassy that had been misfiled. So everybody that wrote history before then never saw any financial data. That was all in the National Archives, and that's also what two of my books are basically.
That is bizarre.
Yeah. So literally follow the money.
Yeah,
follow the money.
Follow the
money. Well, so what's the big headline out of it? What do you find?
Well, what we found is that, definitely the idea that Panchovia had something to do with the Germans is a proven fact because we could trace payments from Franz von Papen's office to Felix Sommerfeld, who was Panchovia's arms buyer, through a bank that they both deposited money into. And Panchovia got free arms and munitions in 1915 and 1916 from Germany.
Wow.
But Felix also, though, he was Madero's military advisor, am I correct?
He was, he acted as his chief of staff, basically.
Of staff.
So, and then he was the head of the Mexican Secret Service. And his main job was organizing... that here in the U.S., people that were against Madero can't get weapons and go to Mexico. So he worked with the FBI, which later, when they were looking for him, was kind of embarrassing because they all knew him. He worked with them.
Did he have a house in El Paso, Sommerfeld?
He stayed in the Sheldon Hotel.
Oh.
That was his thing. And actually, when they were looking for him in 1916 after Columbus, they went into the Sheldon Hotel to find his suitcase. And supposedly somebody had it disappeared. So still today, we don't know where that suitcase landed. There's another reference to it in the 1920s. So I think Sommerfeld hid it somewhere, took it with him. But God, I would love to see that suitcase.
Oh,
wow.
There's all this correspondence in it.
If you happen to have an old suitcase in your attic and you don't know what to do with it, and it's all in Spanish, call Harry.
Absolutely.
Because Harry would like to, you can read Spanish, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And so you would like to get involved in that.
That's
Harry
amazing.
Von Filich is the guy sitting here. Did I say that right?
Filich.
Filich, so I'm getting closer. I'll eventually get you correctly.
That's probably when you're on the border. You get so hung up in Spanish, it's really hard to go into another language sometimes.
Well, we have these tongue-breaking names, too. You know?
Wow, yeah.
It's like a consonant accident, my name.
I can't even say that. Consonant accident. Fair enough. All right, taking a break here on the El Paso History Radio Show. We are talking about the intrigue of the Mexican Revolution, and people have sometimes said that this radio is too much on Mexico and the Revolution. Well, I got news for you. It's El Paso history. And that's what people that don't get. If you grew up here in El Paso, you weren't taught your history, first of all, in the schools. Well, second of all, it's inherent in our history.
Well, and it's also, it has a much bigger, a broader cast of information around being involved with all the things that were going on back east, all the blowing up of factories and munitions and some of the purchasing of munition factories and such. It's amazing. I mean, it really is a big web.
Yeah.
Well, before Harry, I had not heard the connection between Villa and the Germans like this.
Never heard.
I remember there was one story where Pancho Villa threw some guy down the stairs of a hotel because he didn't want to talk to him, a German guy. He said, "Get out of here." He threw him down the stairs. And so I thought that was the attitude, but apparently not. That was just that guy.
Well, he had also some Germans he really didn't like.
That was one of them.
Kirk, yeah. Because
the guy went down the stairs, yeah.
Probably, yeah. Well, you know, the Villa burned down the Kettelson Degetau store that was here in El Paso in 1911, I think. His troops looted it and burned it down. And so the German community in El Paso really didn't like Villa at all. It was just Sommerfeld who was here with his agents and stuff, but they were not all German. You know, he hired Americans. He hired former policemen, sheriffs. They all worked for him.
Well, as you well know, the list is very long of people who did not like Pancho Villa.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. He starts with this guy. Fair enough. Harry's here. We're talking this stuff. The second hour, we got some more information coming in. But do you have some people looking at us now on Facebook?
Yes, we do. Let's see. We've got George Sanchez is adding some information, which I've got to read through. It's a long, long story. Cindy Medina. Hello, Cindy. She's been a guest on here talking about
Beattie Burdett. There she is.
Beattie, my good friend. Harry Kirk from the east side. Araceli Mendoza. Ray Harado. And we've got Linda Hart Goggin. We've got the police on our side there. We got everybody working with us this morning.
And Angie. So. Angie's in Colorado.
Oh,
we know
that's right.
That.
Colorado, we've got people Rocky Mountain High.
All over the place here. All right, taking a break on the El Paso History Radio Show. We will take a call if it's relevant to the topic, and we'll fill that number out once to see what happens. Otherwise, catch us on Facebook to talk to us today.
Yeah, watch us live.
And here, whoop. Oh, you almost dropped your whole bottle of tequila on the floor.
Yeah, I know.
Good
Lord.
Tequila.
I wouldn't have spilled the
top. It'll eat that desk right off. Okay, what's the phone number?
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home Team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
This is Andrew J. Polk with News Radio 690 KTSM. The COVID-19 coronavirus is still spreading in our community, and anyone who has been exposed or is showing symptoms is asked to get tested. Information on free testing is available at epstrong.org. Find details on how to register for the vaccine at epcovidvaccine.com. eprenthelp.org has resources for tenants and landlords on rental assistance, and epbusinessstrong.org has details on grant and loan funding. From the News Radio 690 KTSM News Desk, I'm Andrew J. Polk.
Did you know that over 90% of male enhancement pills are virtually the same thing that's repackaged, redone over and over again? Why settle for the same old product when you can get something completely different? Something that takes male enhancement into the 21st century. Something that really works. Men, you need to try Noxetril, the all-natural male enhancement formula that will unlock your performance in the bedroom to a level you could only dream of. Try to imagine Viagra on steroids. Noxetril is so powerful, that's why it took years for it to finally become available to the public without a prescription. So call now and take advantage of our special Noxetril free bottle offer today. Oh yeah, we recommend that you use the Noxetril dose as directed. Think of your partner. We certainly don't want you to overperform in the bedroom.
Call now and find out how to get a free bottle of Noxetril while supplies last. Call 1-800-993-2190. Free bottles for a limited time. So call now, 800-993-2190, 800-993-2190.
Cusup Ewing GMC, the leader in stimulating the used car market in the El Paso Southwest, is doing it again. Buy any car, SUV, or truck in our tremendous used car inventory for only $77 down.
That's it? $77?
That's right, $77. One owner trade, three possessions, lease returns, insurance recoveries, and even government retired vehicles.
Like this new 2019 Nissan Sentra, $77 down. Or this 2018 Chevy Cruze, $77 down.
Financing available through more than 20 local banks and credit unions. Buy here, pay here, financing by La Casita. Buy any car, SUV, or truck for only $77 down.
Cusup Ewing GMC, Montana at Airwave.
News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Got to let you know to take a look at an email if you wish to do so, ephistory690. at gmail.com. We'll look at that this morning. And we are the El Paso History Radio Show on Facebook, and you can go there for the weekly promos that we put out every week, usually by Tuesday night, maybe Wednesday morning. But we have a TV channel as well, and that's on YouTube. And so you go to youtube.com/El Paso History TV. This program is not yet on there. We're trying to figure out how to make that switch. But in the meantime, you look at us on Facebook. But that YouTube channel does have our archives. And what we do have on there is El Paso Gold DVDs. I've been producing those for 20 years. They're now all on there for free. And there's an interesting one you might want to take a look at, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso. There's at least 20 sites that Pancho Villa made famous, and we put a dozen of them on that video. So there's that. Also, the ABC 7 series we did with Bernie Sargent, it's called El Paso History TV, oddly enough. But that was on in the newscast. We had him, Bernie, reporting as a news reporter. And with a cowboy hat, Melissa. You liked that, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
That was pretty cool. But anyway, that's on there as well. There's 20 of those. And if you just watch those 20, about 3 minutes each, you will find out what El Paso history is all about.
Yeah, because hopefully it'll spur more people to look into history. Now, what I think everybody needs to do is to bike the river trail along the Rio Grande. I've done that for on and off for years. It's a great ride, an easy ride up the river. And they're going to have a tour on Saturday, June 26th. Starting at 7:30 a.m. and they'll be done by 10:30 a.m. And so go out there. They'll have people with you to talk about the history along the Rio Grande. Then July 10th, you have 7:30 p.m. Who's running around the desert at night with Dr. Paul Hyder? Find out how the desert organisms avoid typically high, frequently lethal daytime temperatures by adapting to a nocturnal way of life. And then July 14th, you have the Juarez Walking Tour with the Tom Lee Institute. So for more details, learn out more about what you need to bring or go on these trips, contact Jim Tolbert at 915-525-7364 or visit their website, Celebration of Our Mountains, which is, you have to Google that because it's celebmountains.org, but just Google it and they'll find it right away.
That's a great group, what they're doing. That's I appreciate it. How many towns can have a celebration of their mountains? They can't because they don't have any mountains. Ha!
You see, now Flagstaff, Arizona could do it because they have a mountain running through.
Yeah, but we got it first.
I know.
They'd be second, and they're too hot anyway. So, going back to the Mexican Revolution and things going on, Otto, we got one more comment. Otto Connor showed up. Great show. Thank you, Otto. But and is that a cousin of yours?
It's not, but it's a really good friend of mine.
Oh, okay. Ah. Well, so the guy sitting here is Harry. Heribert.
Heribert? Von Feilich.
Von Feilich. Filage.
Okay. Like filage.
Well, yeah. And so you're going to be at Pepe's today for lunch.
I will.
Ah, everybody show up. And you're
you
going to
have some books?
You're going to have some books available some for books. People at Pepe's today. Books, 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 Pepe's, Pepe's. Yes. We can't get him away on the show right now, but we can. You can make a negotiated deal with Harry when you see him. So come on out. We'll have a table out there. And we do have a caller here. Hey, should we go to a caller? Let's see what he wants to do. We got this guy named Alan. Alan, you're on the radio. What's up, Alan?
Not much, sir. I just was going to make a couple comments. The first one, you're talking about the bullets hitting the buildings and everything like that, hitting people. Well, remember, here only about 10 years ago, they had bullets hit the middle of Interstate 10 up around us, where the old Sarco was, and the other one, they hit the City Hall building.
Well, another one hit a door at UTEP.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And the range of those weapons, even back then, it was a 30-30, 7-millimeter Mauser and American 30-06. They got 2,000 yards plus range on them.
Yeah.
But it's very easy for them to come in the stateside and impact different areas.
Alan, let me guess. You would not be up on top of a hotel watching the battle.
No, because they even had machine guns, too.
Back yeah, no, I mean...
95s and stuff like that, Maxim guns, which all are American inventions, by the way. The majority of machine guns are American inventions used in World War One.
Well, you know what?
Know
well, basically, the Mexicans did. They told their troops, try not to fire at the United States. We don't want to upset them or get them involved. But can you imagine a couple of renegades that watch this one? Ah.
Well, they did it on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. It's
when the bullets start flying, a guy gets shot. He shoots a brown up in the air because he got hit. It goes somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Well,
whatever goes up must come down because of gravity. But the other thing I was going to mention was he was talking about the German influence. Well, in this time period, you had the German sabotage teams working out of New York City, the harbor, mm-hmm. they're blowing up ships and everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
And Tom Turney, the head of the, who was actually the beginning head of the New York Intelligence Unit and the bomb squad, was one that probably put the end to that. But they were using a, let's say, a delay thermite-type device with ships on fire and all that. And probably was the cause of the big Black Tom Island detonation that happened. So you had all sorts of sabotage efforts going on the East Coast at that time period.
We did. And Alan, thank you for your contribution. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan.
Have a good day, sir.
You
take care.
Thank you.
Thanks
bye-bye.
A whole lot here. We're going to take a break here and come back in a minute. We got Harry sitting here. And we just real quick, who are these guys that we have up? Andrew, put up number three. And who are these guys?
Yeah, so we talked already about Heinrich Albert, right? So he's the commercial agent, becomes later the commercial attaché so that the U.S. couldn't arrest him when they found out that he is the guy running the show. And Dernburg was a guy who was the colonial minister, friends with the Kaiser, and was sent over here to raise money. And as I said in the beginning, since Germany lost all the battles, it was pretty hard to sell war bonds, you know. You don't bet on the losing side. And so he was kind of sitting around twirling his thumbs. He couldn't go back to Germany because of the British sea blockade. And so he got involved in propaganda and actually built up a pretty astounding propaganda network here. And, so he's also part of the Secret War Council. It is Dernburg who actually transmitted a proposal from Sommerfeld to create a war between the U.S. and Mexico to the German high command because...
Wait a minute. Sommerfeld, what was his job?
Well, Sommerfeld basically worked for Pancho Villa officially, but he, in the spring of 1915, after the Lusitania sinking, so about May 1915, he basically went to the German government and said, hey, if you want to distract the Americans, I know how to do it. I can do it.
Didn't he have an American job too?
Well, I mean, he had all kinds of jobs. I mean, his main job was hauling weapons to Pancho Villa.
Oh, you know, my.
That was his main thing, and munitions.
But he was kind of like a double, triple spy also, is what I think what he's...
Yeah, well, you know, Friedrich Katz, a historian, he basically said he was a double agent. But, you know, if I look at what he did his whole life, he was never a double agent. He always knew what he was fighting for.
And if there was cash involved, that might have been part of it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he was just a guy who took advantage of people, who made sure that nobody knew the whole story, and he always got done what he wanted to get done, you know, and that's why he's such a good spy.
Taking a break here at this point. Here we got Carlos on hold. Carlos, don't go anywhere. We'll get to you in a minute. But the phones seem to work. We got some people calling up here, but also Facebook.
Yeah,
you can look at us on Facebook there.
Yeah, and make a comment. Let us know if you have any questions or anything. You know, make it there, and I'll get it there and see if we can get it on air.
All right, taking a break. Andrew, hit the button.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell property. See the new website, m1ep.com, m1ep.com. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca, 915-592-4549, 592-4549.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
It's all about the nose. It's your air filter, the first line of defense against bacteria and viruses. If too many germs get stuck in your nose, guess what? You get sick. That's why it's so important to keep your nose clean, just like washing your hands. Nasal irrigation gets rid of germs by rinsing the nasal cavity, but neti pots are hard to use and, frankly, kind of gross. Now there's a better way to keep your nose clean and help your body protect itself. It's called Navage Nasal Care. Navage uses powered suction to flush out allergens, mucus, bacteria, and viruses. Millions use Navage for fast, all-natural relief from sinus congestion and allergies, and to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier without drugs. Navage is easy to use, affordable, and comes with an absolute guarantee of satisfaction. You wash your hands and brush your teeth every day. Now it's time to start cleaning your nose with Navage. At Navage.com, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, Target, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
iHeartRadio Earth is here with little tips for a healthier planet. Globally, about 1,000 plants we depend on for food and products need to be pollinated by animals, including coffee, melons, chocolate, almonds, and even tequila. Help stabilize the declining honeybee population by planting native plants that they rely on for food, habitat, and nesting. Brought to you by iHeartRadio Earth and the National Environmental Education Foundation. To find more tips for smarter, sustainable living, or to take action in your own community, go to iHeartRadio.com/earth.
Do you hear My Computer Career ads and think, I don't know anything about computers? Well, you don't have to. Before starting, many graduates could turn a computer on and off. And that's it. Now they're IT pros. You could do it too. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. You could start your new life in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Just to let you know, the San Elizario Historic District, they're always active. They got something going on tomorrow, Sunday, 4 p.m., an interesting second edition lecture for free online called Descendants of the Oñate Expedition with Gary De Leon, and it's on GoToWebinar. You should register at www.culturalheritagesociety.com/events. There's stuff going on down there all the time.
Oh, I know. And we want you to support our sponsors. I mean, it's been a tough couple of years, especially for restaurants. Pepe's Restaurant in Cañotillo, which is home to the one and only margarita, is open for in-house dining, to-go orders, and catering. And they're located at 6761 Donovan Drive, or you can give Pepe a call at 915-877-2152.
You're going.
And we'll be there today after the show.
Yeah, you're going there.
I'm going there, yeah.
Me too.
They're good people. And in the market to buy or sell your home, then you need to contact Legacy Real Estate Services and Patrick Tuttle, who has a great inventory of homes for sale and rent. So give Patrick Tuttle a call today at 915-588-1850. And we need to welcome our newest sponsor, and that's State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson. He's like a good neighbor, but with a better phone number.
Ah.
Call him at 915-581-0000 for all your insurance needs. And then one more we have here is looking for a full-service company to manage your rental properties? Then you need to talk to our friends at Monterey Asset Management or visit their website, m1ep.com, or call them at 915-592-4549. And these are all great people who have sponsored the show for a long time.
That one's Ray Baca. He's an old friend from high school, actually. All right, lots going on here. We're going to talk. You know, we got a guy on the phone. Harry Von Felich is sitting here. Felich is sitting here. He's the he's the guy. I would consider you an expert on German spies. Are you a German spy?
You know, it was really funny. I was giving a speech in Mexico at a university, and it was in front of a lot of people. It was at UTEP, I think, in Puebla. And this guy introduced me as Harry, the German spy.
Well, here he is again.
And you get out of Mexico with that one now.
There's a guy who wants to talk to you. His name is Carlos. Carlos, hey, thanks for calling. What's up?
Good morning, Melissa, Jackson, Harry.
Hey, Carlos.
Good morning.
Great program, good topic.
Thank you.
I'm proud to say that my grandfather, my mom's mom, he fought in the revolution, and he fought with Carranza.
Okay.
And he was like 12 or 13 years old. He was a scout.
Tough history.
Wow. And they used to call him El Muchachito because his feet didn't reach the, what do you call them, the reins of the saddle?
Yeah. Oh. The stirrups, yeah.
Yes, uh-huh. Stirrups, yeah. So anyways, in the 30s, 40s, they went to from Chihuahua to L.A., and my grandfather used to go downtown, and that was when they were making all those cowboy movies. And the producers, directors used to go around asking who used to ride horses. And I'm proud to say that my grandfather was in a lot of movies, extra, in the 30s, 40s.
Wow. Good for you. Well, thank you.
Calling me Muchachito.
Thank you for sharing that.
That's cool.
Another question right quick.
Sure.
Harry, is there some kind of a book or archive that says all the names of that fought in the revolution?
All of them? Maybe not all of them.
Well, Pancho Villa's army alone was 40,000 people.
So we don't have that book.
I think there's, if you look at Friedrich Katz's work, for example, got lots of names in there. But I would think that INAH in Mexico, they might keep, that's the historical organization of Mexico. And they might have resources with the names that fought in the revolution.
You might.
It's probably not in a book.
Check that out, Carlos. We got to move on, but thanks for ringing up. Okay?
I will. Thanks a lot.
Take care, Carlos. Thank you.
Yeah, and Melissa, you got any more people yet over there?
Yes, but I'm bouncing between.
Victor
pages.
Guzman, he's always there.
Yeah,
we appreciate
Victor,
that.
We have a gentleman from Phoenix. Paul is his last name. Bill Paul, I want to say. And I'm bouncing between two Facebook pages.
Andrew,
so.
let's get. And by the way, Andrew, the guy in the control room and running the show in there, he's got his hands full with stuff going on there. But we're going to go to picture number four next. But Andrew J. Polk, he has Monday through Friday. He is the guy in charge of Talk El Paso. And he has his own little bell. And so be careful when you hear that. He's lurking. But anyway, Monday through Friday, talk to him on the same station, and he has Talk El Paso. All right, moving into Sommerfeld and Stallworth. And basically what you're saying, Harry, is Sommerfeld figured out how to convince the German government to fund him to go start an insurrection in Mexico on the border here.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of a border incident. You know, there were a lot of people that wanted to save their investments, Americans in New York that had invested in railroads in Mexico. The revolution destroyed all that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so there were a lot of people that actually wanted an intervention.
Yeah.
Americans, you know. And so Sommerfeld knew a bunch of them. And, of course, he made use, like I said before. I mean, he just knew where to go and who to talk to and what to tell them. And so he got people in the investment community. He got politicians. So there were a lot of politicians that wanted an intervention. He got members of the Wilson administration. He was good friends with Secretary of War Garrison, for example, and Hugh Lennox Scott, the general, Army Chief of Staff. And so he convinced a bunch of people that this would be a good idea. And so when Germany needed some help, you know, the war was going badly, and the U.S. was producing most of the ammunition for England, for example.
We just put up the sabotage order to explain that.
Oh, my God, yeah. So you know, the first strategy the Germans had in 1914 is just to buy up all ammunition that they could. And this is where Sommerfeld also came into play, because where do you take all these weapons? Well, you could ship them to Mexico, right? They won't attack Germany. And so that's what Sommerfeld was in charge of.
And they weren't going to Germany.
No.
They're coming down here.
The British had locked up the ocean. You know, there was a sea blockade, and so you couldn't take anything. This was kind of, you know, when you think about neutrality, the U.S. wasn't really neutral because only British ships could go through, you know. So, but anyway, so in 1914, he helped buy up as much as he could. Then the economy boomed, and it got too expensive. The German government said, let's do something else. And
next picture.
Sommerfeld said, I know exactly what to do.
And he'd been on the border for a while checking things out.
Sure. And he knew exactly. He was in this, he actually worked with the American government in the winter of 1915 to settle the battle at Naco. In Naco, Arizona, there were bullets flying across, and everybody got really, really mad. And so Sommerfeld actually worked with General Hugh Lennox Scott, the American Army Chief of Staff, and settled that issue. And by the way, talking about bullets whizzing, so General Funston, another the guy in charge of the Southern Department here in El Paso, we're not in El Paso, but somewhere here in Texas, was the head of the Southern Department. He inspected the Battle of Naco and walked on the American side by these railroad cars that had put up with coal and wood and I don't know what. And there was a gap, so he was looking across, and a bullet literally almost hit his face.
Oh, no. Andrew, next. And they were searching people at the border, obviously.
Yeah, lots of smuggling going on. I guess that's nothing new for El Paso, right?
It's been since day one. I mean, it used to be a lot easier because there was no wall.
Right.
But now, moving on to the search number seven there, Andrew. And in the and right after that, you see they're just searching everybody going into Mexico. But number eight, that's his Sommerfeld and Villa. I identified the wrong guy at first. Once you figure out who Sommerfeld is, you don't get him wrong again.
No, isn't he amazing? I mean, if you look at his face.
He looks like a gangster.
Well-dressed, though. You know, kind of like a mafioso,
Al Capone was well-dressed. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And he liked the high life in the sense. I think that's one of the things when he was back in New York. He had a very nice suite there, and he was
in the Hotel Astor on Times Square. I mean, he had like one of the big suites there. That was his office, and he was always well dressed. He liked to be seen as successful.
Next one,
you know,
and he also hung out with all kinds of people. Zapata was another one he hung out with.
Yeah, talking about knowing everybody. When he worked for Madero, you know, he negotiated with Zapata. He negotiated with Carranza. He knew everybody in the Mexican Revolution. Anybody that had any standing.
So did the U.S. trust him, or what was the deal?
It's a good question. I mean, they used him. You know, the thing about the Wilson administration was that it came in as a Democratic administration after 12 years of Republican administrations, right? And so they didn't trust their own State Department people. So they used all kinds of amateurs, Sommerfeld being one of them. There's a guy, Carruthers, who they sent to be with Pancho Villa. There's a bunch of people that were sent out that were really not career State Department people, and I think the reason was that Wilson didn't trust them.
Number 10, he hung out at the Sheldon Hotel. And in case you're wondering, the Sheldon Hotel burned down in 1930, and they put back up the huge Trost building known as the Plaza Hotel.
Is that? Okay.
Yeah.
That's where I'm staying.
You're staying at the old Sheldon Hotel location.
I did not realize
that. Oh, yeah.
Prices have changed. Do you know how much it was to stay overnight in 1915?
12 cents. I don't know what.
$1.50.
$1.50. Okay. $1.50.
And that was big bucks.
Well, you take it times 21.
That was a lot of money back then.
$40. You know.
Exactly. Yeah.
It says here, $1.50 a night on your picture.
Yeah.
So we'll go.
I thought it was a funny little
idea. Did you try say my reservation was set from 1915?
Yeah, I mean, what? No chance. Yeah, I'm a bad negotiator.
These next couple of things, you got Sommerfeld Garrison letter. We'll put it up, but we can't read all that on Facebook necessarily.
No, I didn't want to read it, but it says on the bottom of the letter, so sorry I missed you last week, but I'll stop by next week and I'll tell you everything that's going on down here. This is a letter sent to the Secretary of War of the United States by Sommerfeld. Can you see how close this guy was?
That's what I was asking. Was he an employee of the government of the United States? The answer is
never got paid. No, never got paid. But he did favors. You know, he did favors. And Garrison trusted him. Scott trusted him. And so when Sommerfeld was trying to influence Pancho Villa to attack Columbus, he actually got other people to speak for him. He kind of knew who wanted to do the same thing.
Next one, Andrew, go to the bank account, because this is where you start getting into the nitty-gritty. The St. Louis bank account, And you can then follow the trail of money.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money that those guys worked on.
Yeah, if you think about it, so I identified $381,000 that went straight to Pancho Villa's munitions. And so times 21, so that's quite a bit of money, but that is only half.
Didn't he have his own money?
Sommerfeld?
No, or Pancho.
He had his own script. Yeah, his own script, yeah.
I don't know if you can say his own money. He had Terrazas Ranch. And
he had possession of a lot of money that he had accumulated.
He got a bunch of gold from the Banco Mineiro.
He stole it.
But he also had his own money. It was Pancho Villa's money.
Oh, he did. He had his name on it. Yeah. All right, we got to stop this proceeding. This is fun. But we got to take a break here. Andrew, hit the button. We're about to do this and come back after that.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson is ready to help you combine home and auto and save here in El Paso. Call 915-581-0000 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Find out the best tips and techniques to get your home sold and get the latest in real estate trends this week with your host, Brian Birds, Sunday at 7:30 on El Paso's news radio station, 690 KTSM AM.
Have you been putting off life insurance for a while? With the long application process, medical exams, and blood tests, it's no wonder you put it off. It can seem so confusing, expensive, and time-consuming. But Ethos is a new way to buy life insurance. Ethos is built with you in mind. Instead of a medical exam, you only have to answer a few health questions. Our application is 100% online and can be done in about 10 minutes. You might even get same-day coverage. At Ethos, we match you with the right policy and the right price from top-rated carriers, with no medical exams and no blood tests. Now you can spend less time sorting through confusing paperwork and more time with the loved ones you want to protect. Go to ethoslife.com today to apply in minutes. That's ethoslife.com. Ethos Technologies, Inc. operates in some states as Ethos Life Insurance Services. Not available in all states.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. 20 years ago, when my mom had lung cancer, she didn't have many choices. But today, you do. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer, please visit standuptocancer.org/lungcancer to learn more.
Newt Gingrich here, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Newt's World. Most people know me as the former Speaker of the House, but I'm also a historian with a wide range of interests. I enjoy talking with experts in their field and the most interesting people across a variety of subjects. I release 4 episodes of Newt's World every week with an effort to excite the imagination of our audience, and hopefully you'll learn something new each time you listen. Listen and subscribe for free to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk El Paso is going daily. Join host Andrew J. Polk weekdays at 4 with the Borderlands only live local talk radio show, breaking down the impact of the news and taking your calls. That's Talk El Paso live Monday through Friday at 4 right here on News Radio 690 KTSM.
Sponsorship and advertising opportunities are also available. To find out on how you can affordably reach an affluent and highly educated demographic, please call iHeartMedia at 915-351-5473. That's 915-351-5473.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, that's my name. I better talk and say something here real fast.
Yes.
Because people expect it of me. By the way, we're going to have second hour. We have another guest coming in by phone. And how do you say his name?
Vital.
First name?
What is his first name?
What is his first name?
Florian.
Florian's easy.
Florian is
the Vital. Okay.
Vital.
He'll join us by phone, and he's going to talk. We're going to take on the Columbus raid, and as well as the what happened afterwards, the
punitive expedition.
The big deal going on with that general from the United States. He chased Pancho everywhere. Anyway, tell you real quick, McGoffin Home, check them out. We always support them. 533-5147, the only house museum in El Paso. What do you got?
Still looking for that unique Father's Day gift? Then head on out to Mission Del Rey Southwest, where they are having their spring walk-in sale. And everything is on 20% off. You just need to mention that you heard this on the El Paso History Radio Show, and you'll receive your discount at checkout. And kids, don't miss Mission Del Rey's new Old West Town. It's an attraction and a perfect place to take Dad and have fun and memorable pictures. Can't talk today. With Dad. Mission Del Rey.
Dad.
Let's see.
All right.
Mission Del Rey is located at 1421 North Lee Trevino.
All right. We got pictures coming up. Number 19, Andrew, we need that one. Oh, we don't need that one. Number 19.
No, 19 is good.
19 is good. Okay.
That's a good one.
Harry von Feilich.
You got it.
Harry's
just say
here.
Harry.
Harry's here. But and we're looking here that we don't have that picture up here. Yeah, we do. We've got the who are these guys? Heinrich Bernstorff?
So Heinrich Count Bernstorff was the German ambassador. And so before people really, historians could find the true sources of the secret war council and what, you know, what the sabotage campaign entailed and so forth, they always suspected that the German ambassador was the guy heading the whole thing. And if you know anything about the role of an ambassador, it's plausible deniability, right? So he kind of knew stuff, but he really didn't have his fingers in it. He was kind of like... not in charge. He didn't want to know what actually was going on.
But the cartoonist took him on. He had an interesting picture there.
Oh, the cartoon, isn't that great? So this is kind of a funny thing. It's a clipping I found in the Albert Papers. And you have this giant German bearded brutal guy with a sword threatening Uncle Sam.
Next picture.
And it says... stay away. Uncle Sam says, stay away. We're looking for a man, which is, of course, Pancho Villa in Mexico, which means World War One was off the table for the Americans while that Columbus raid.
Number 20, Andrew?
Expedition
put up number 20.
We were still trying to kind of stay out of the mess in Europe. We didn't really feel it was our area to go at that time, I believe. Like, and everything that was going on in the South, I mean, could we handle two wars? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, the big challenge was that, like I said, the British had blockaded the oceans, and the Germans really needed to break that blockade. The only way to do that is with submarines. And so when they accidentally sunk a bunch of civilian ships, this became a huge issue for the U.S.
Stop that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so,
Andrew, put up the next picture.
This is why keeping the U.S. busy, they wanted to restart the unrestricted submarine warfare while the U.S. is busy in Mexico. And that was really the plan. Yeah.
We are out of here for this hour, Harry. We did that.
You're awesome.
We're going to come back next hour, add your buddy Florian from, I think he's in Missouri, where he lives. Somewhere over there.
Midwest.
By telephone,
Missouri,
you can get
would make sense.
In the meantime, we're going to come back after the news and do this again. Melissa, you ready?
I'll be back.
Very good. I'll be there. See you then, after the news.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita, and by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.